Hello everyone, welcome back to the Gen Z People Podcast channels. And then today it's been a very long time that I would love to welcome my housemate Jasmine back. If you watch this one after the one that we had before last 2 weeks, then you would know it's just Jasmine for the two podcast talk, but with me it could be like 3 months long because the very first one I interviewed Jasmine is like probably in January, right?
Yeah.
And then it's been like a while, and now it's in like almost the last week of March that I re-interviewed her again for another topics. Nothing overlapping here if you guys worry about that. So welcome Jocelyn, my
Thank you.
very close housemate
Thank
again.
you for having me again.
Back to my room, same spot, but right now more of like comfortable
Comfortable
positions
seating.
on the couch. Anyway, okay. So the topic that we want to talk about today, also on the title, would be about the risk auditing in finance. I just want to recap because before we did kind of touch on like how you land an internship in BCI, like how you prepare for the interview cap and so that. Now we dive in deeper. Since you have like this is your third, very first and foremost, can you review with the audience why did you choose to enroll in a co-op program?
For sure. I feel like as an international student, you don't get much opportunity to do like internships. As an international, you want to kind of, you are here on the study permit, so you want to maintain that status. So, the spring and the fall semester, which is like January to April and fall from September to December, is a full-time student. You can't do an internship if you don't have a co-op program with your university. So that's why that's the very first reason of me enrolling into the co-op program. The second and the foremost thing is that you don't know when you're first starting to find co-ops. SFU, our university, has like a job portal which has all the job listings. So it helps you to kind of understand the job market and the what positions you might be interested
Very, very well answered
in. Thank
response.
you.
Yeah, so that I assume, or not assume, because I know it's a fact already that you have done at least two internships before you have this one, third one in BCI. So can you talk a little bit about, briefly about your internship that before when you did about your in your sophomore and third year?
Sure. My first co-op experience was pretty unique. I had zero experience when I was finding for my first co-op. I was bath and body sales associate on my resume, so I didn't have like much experience for the entry-level jobs that I was applying for. I applied for various positions and I got various rejections, didn't even got an interview. So it's fine if you don't, it's a bit difficult to get first co-op, but it's not impossible. So I applied for investors relation, which is kind of like a corporate finance position at Ballard Power Systems, a hydrogen industry. So I got my interview. I had interview in the morning and by noon I got to know that I got the position. And I didn't knew that there is something called hydrogen industry. It was super new for me. That I worked in that company for 8 months and I know that it's a growing industry, it's a growing market, and how incoming like 10 years we are going to see hydrogen vehicles on the road. As for the position itself, it was really intriguing. I got to understand, what people expect in corporate finance, how to build relations, how to communicate internally and externally. It was a pretty unique experience and all remote for 8 months.
I feel like remote job has like pros and cons sometimes.
Exactly,
Yeah.
exactly.
But yeah, we always have the, the first moment, always the first job, the first impression, having like the, no experiences going to corporate workplace, what would it be? I feel you so
Yes,
surreal because like that's my
that's true.
situation right now. But yeah, it's very interesting. Like, you actually landed in a very not very common industry, like
Exactly.
yeah. Like it is more of, I would say, more like engineering type of things.
It is. Well, the people I was working with, my supervisor and the vice president of Ballard, they all had engineering degrees. And I was like the
Interesting.
non-engineer person, still getting to understand the company. But as you work through and as you work with, such intellectual people, you just not get to understand what your role is, but also better understand, how to be in a particular industry, how to behave and how to, gain knowledge.
Oh, very interesting. So I feel like the next question is more like jumping in the very current position that you have at BCI. So I would say I would change that a bit. So because I know that you have already have like one, two, three, you have like third internships going on. So what kind of skills here that you think it's more like transferable from one to another internship that you have right now? Just kind of elaborate on that one. And what kind of skills do you think is like more like unique and technical for each of the position that you have?
For the things I feel like which were transferable was the communication. Understanding that the communication that we learn in university or school is really, really different from what you learn from the corporate world. So communication was the first aspect which was like a great transfer. Second aspect which was a great transferable skill was open to learn. So as long as you are, providing, as long as you want to learn more, that is something, you can transfer from one job to another. For what's unique about BCI position that I'm currently in is it's kind of more focused on the research scan area, which I didn't do in my previous job. So that is something that I'm learning right now, how to refine the research and how to align it with something that we are particularly looking for our corporate risk and audit department.
Very interesting. Now I have another question for you, given that you already have like three internships. So for example, would that make sense if we have like at least like minimum three co-op terms in SFU, and whenever you end one of them, you have to go back to study more and then get another job? Or would be more making sense that you only finish studying at like your first 2 years or 3 years, and then you get like internships extensively for the fourth year, and then just going back to graduate? Which way do you prefer and why?
I feel like it really depends from person to person and what their personal goals are. Personally, I also feel like your, residency in this country really depends. I have friends who are like domestic students and they have like literally a very different approach on viewing the co-ops, and international students have very different approach of viewing the co-op program. For personally, for me, I feel like, after your first and a half or second year of SFU or your university life, get one co-op because you're still deciding on the concentration you want to choose. You're still deciding on the career you want to explore. So once you have already done 2 years of your university, try to get into that industry and see whether or not it aligns with your personal goals, right? And if it aligns, perfect. Go back to school. Try to explore more courses because the universities has these prerequisite courses that you need to do in order to kind of graduate in the particular industry you want to go to. So go back. You'll see more courses and you'll become more intrigued in those courses. Then go back to the industry, explore more. This way, I feel like you have an opportunity to understand, oh, this is something I'm happy doing with. This is something I really want to do. Personally, for me, this is my idea that after 2 years, I did my first co-op in corporate finance, which was very interesting, but that is not something I really want to do. I came back to school. I I explored different courses in strategy, and I came back to BCI as for enterprise risk management, which is kind of like consulting position, but specially focused for BCI. And this is something that's interesting. But now I'm gonna go back to university, explore more courses in investment, and then my next step is to do one last co-op in investment company to understand whether or not, which one was something that I was enjoying doing. And for other people, what they try to do is that I have seen people who have done like five or seven co-ops, which is very interesting. Other people have like different approach. What they do is they do the courses, and in their fourth year, they just leave one semester and start doing co-ops. I feel like the only disadvantage of that is that you don't get an option to fully explore the other industries.
I agree. I feel like that's a very again detailed answer and then straight to the point. Just an add-on for that. But I also feel like if you have more co-op experiences in different kind of industry, it's we just open you more doors when you actually after graduate and you have more connection in different industry. Right now I think I assume you already have network in the hydrogen industry that you used to work before in finance, investment management industry here in BCI, and like who knows, investment banking. Best of luck right now for that one. It's very competitive, but I feel like you're going on the right track, and then you can like elaborate more on your skill sets and have more strong perspective of being an investment banker. Who knows? I feel like that's really good. Just another side questions. What if both of the third all of the third co-ops that we try out and we get back to school would not align what we want? Like there would be people, I assume there would be still people that after they do like several co-op position, they still don't like their job, they still don't like the degree that they're sitting on. So what is your recommendation for them?
That's interesting, Flesha. And there are people, I'll tell you a funny story. I was in Accounting Student Association networking event, and I met this guy, and he told me that he has been in SFE for a long time, and he has done seven concentrations. So he has done accounting, finance, MIS, HR, operations, and I was like, wow. I feel like people who still don't find, their degree is aligning with with what they expect, they need to explore more. Because I feel like somewhere out there is something that every person is kind of like, oh, this is something I want to do. This is You need to create a curiosity within yourself to find what you really want to do. I feel like having curiosity builds on your career. If you're curious about, oh, how is this thing happening? How they can do that? That how is gonna build your career. I'm intrigued by investment banking. Oh, how they can invest so much and, get higher returns. How BCI, which is like a pension fund, a small, not small, but a medium company, is growing on such a large scale. How? That how and the curiosity is something that you have to find.
I think the most scariest moment that now I think of is that we until the point we start feeling curious and we start exploring things. I think that's
I feel like the only thing is people. I know having job safety is very important, but people, are just working for having a secure career, which I totally agree. But in that journey, people just forget that, you have to do something that makes you happy and secure, not just secure.
I agree. And to that point, I very agree. I feel like I'm actually scared, to be honest. I'm scared that later in my future life, when I graduate, when I actually have my full-time job, just like you guys later on, very soon, it would be a point where I was like, what am I doing with my life? Am I choosing the right track, going to 9 to 5 for 5 days a week? Do I feel happy? Do I feel like I'm doing like new
Exactly.
things every single day? Because right now I am doing that. And I know that after I finish this co-op, I'm going back to SU. I'm gonna learn new things. And like just like you
Exactly.
say, I actually love my job right now. And I have so many skills that I wanna, you know, like improve on when I get back to academic study. I'm like strongly commit to that. But what if until that point, I do have that kind of like a like fear. Maybe like if I still have that podcast channel going on, I will share that with my audience and everyone, and including you, Jasmine. I feel like yeah, that's something we kind of have that crisis and you know curiosity. So if that's not the job you love anymore,
Yeah,
change.
exactly.
Yeah, go on to the
No
yeah.
one is stopping you from, you know, doing what you want to do. N no one is gonna question you that, oh, why did you leave your job? Oh, you can't stay up with the team. You have to think about yourself first. Don't let other people's thoughts or opinions, oh, you know, that person can't stick to one job, that person can't do this. It's fine. You're still young. You need to explore, you know, how other things make you happy, how other jobs or other positions make you happy, and work environment is really important.
Yeah, I agree. The work environment. Yes, now you touched on the point of our next question, the work environment. Given that you currently have a co-position in BCI, just for some information, not promoting our company right now. I'm not that, you know, in love with the company, but you know, BCI is one of the companies that just recently got the award. Maybe three consecutive years that I have the reward of the BC top employer and also the Canada's top employers in, you know, current years. And I feel very impressive. And then I understand why I feel like that environment, you know, very positive attitude. You have good manager, everyone is very open-minded, you know, open to your new ideas. You know, you're like a co-op interns. They still value your ideas. They're still saying, keep
Exactly.
trying. If that's a good one, we keep it.
Yeah,
So it's
exactly.
not like, oh no, you're still young, you need to listen to us, something like that. So again, can you share some, you know, details of your job, you know, the day-to-day, how it is to have like a day work life in BCI, and you know, what kind of like pros and cons, and what kind of like maybe advantage and disadvantage that you see right now and ask yourself going to BCI?
First of all, great employers, great manager. I love my team. They are fantastic. I remember when I sat in the very first meeting and, you know, I gave my thoughts about what I think about the particular topic we were discussing about. And everyone was open to hearing my idea. Everyone was like, oh, yeah, we agree with that. And that is something that had a very positive influence on me, understanding, you know, if my team hear my idea, I feel comfortable sharing it like that. As for my day-to-day responsibility, so I particularly work for enterprise risk management team within corporate risk and audit. Our task is to support the back office and see what kind of risks we have within the back office that can indirectly affect our investments or our front office. So in back office, we kind of work with all the 10 departments from finance to cybersecurity and technology operations to understand how these departments are working quarter to quarter and year to year. Apart from that, we also work on doing market scans to see that is there any trend happening within Canada or globally that can affect BCI. So we work on the top four risks, that is reputational, financial, strategic, and operational risks. We also work with consulting firms to collect the matrix data and work on that data and kind of communicate it to the board and Enterprise Risk Management Committee. For me personally, right now I'm working on a project with my team on building a Power BI model. So it's the model where all the departments can kind of just put in their matrix data and Power BI can store that data and build the visual models.
Yes, very interesting.
For pros and cons, pros working in enterprise risk management is kind of like me exploring my strategic concentration, why I'm doing strategy, and I'm enjoying it. Other thing about pro is that I'm getting to understand how, BCI, which is like a pension fund investment, is kind of a new market, which I never heard about, which I personally never heard about. There's a pension fund industry
Me too.
organization.
Pretty new.
So it's something that I'm still learning about. I don't feel like I have any, disadvantage or stuff. I would say only disadvantage is it's just one day work from home. So I'm still adjusting to it. Understanding that I come from 8 month remote to fully back to the office is kind of like a big change.
I agree. Yeah, I feel like before my first job is more like in the food and beverage industry, and we only work for like 3 days a week. You know, it's like standing job. It's more kind of tiring, but still, like I feel like it take me a long, very long time, like all of us to like adapt to that 9 to 5. And I know 9 to 5 here is not like we're gonna stick to our desk 9 to 5, right? We're gonna move around. We have like coffee chat sometimes, like between us. You know, like we have a very
I
close
feel
coffee chat.
BCI's work culture and them having 3 year consecutive top 100 employers does make sense. They have a great culture. You're not just stick to your role. You have an opportunity to explore, explore and volunteer and build on the leadership skills. Then, as you mentioned, coffee chats, great way to network, great way to kind of, build an entry for your next co-op, but in different departments. And then amazing people, they also focus on, your mental health. They also have great social events for everyone to network formally and informally.
I agree. I feel like, yeah, that's also the point that we heard our like executive management team emphasize, you know, day to day, every single time they meet us, that technical skills are important, but people's skill are the one that
Very
you cannot be
important.
lack of in
Exactly.
any kind of like career. Like if you have a very like, you know, high level technical skills, but you're like very bad at, you know, managing people, you're done. Yeah, you're gonna like down from that one. And I feel that's kind of scary, but I
That's
feel like the people skills here, we sometimes kind of, you know, overlook that. We don't
exactly.
really care about what's about people skill. I meet people, new people every single day. I talk to them. And you really think, you know, like what do they think of you? No, not all the times. So I feel, yeah, being able to be like self-reflecting and
Exactly.
you know, getting your new skills and also how to like do coffee chat with people, able to talk to them is a very important thing. So you done a great job.
You too.
Yeah, I'm like a Jasmine witness every single day. You know, she's very comfortable meeting new people. She could, you know, have like a very like 30-second elevator pitch to every single person here in BCI. She's also the chair for our social committee. So, you know, she took a lot of like great, you know, opportunity to be like a leader, leaderships, you know, and that's great.
Yeah,
That's
thank you.
transferable skill. Who know? After this, you can be a chair of another club in SFU when you come back in 1 year. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, you graduate soon, but like, who knows? Yeah, seize
Yes. No, I feel
the
like it's really important to seize an opportunity, even though it means a good amount of workload and pressure. But seize that opportunity. You don't know where you're gonna end
Yeah,
with
it's a
that.
very good trade-off with networking, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So moving on, I mean, you already dive in a little bit of your corporate role, and you know, like how your team's being very open-minded, and you can adapt very well to BCI. So we also mentioned coffee chats. So in your opinions, are coffee chats and networking events like very beneficial for students right now? Even if they're like in freshmen, they know nothing about, you know, even business or the degree that you're working on. For somebody in communication, engineering, they know nothing. So do you think that's very important that we start off early, and then you have any, you know, encouragement for them?
Yes, I feel like networking events and coffee chats are great, great, great way to understand the roles that other people are in, to understand their day-to-day work and life, and to understand more, to understand, how they feel working for a particular organization. But the way you need to do coffee chat, even if you're a freshman or sophomore, is really different. You're still in really early days of your university. You need to kind of like do a follow-up. I remember I was reading an article about Coffee Chat, and there's like, great advices from our SFU advisors as well. When you do a coffee chat, and if a person particularly talks about something that interests you, read through it. For example, you and me are doing a coffee chat, and I mention about a particular article. After like a month or maybe a few weeks, and you read through article, message them on LinkedIn and saying that, oh, during our coffee chat, you mentioned about this article. I, read through this article. It's a very nice article. I hope your work and your job is going well. You need to create a continuous connection so that next time when you're looking for a co-op or when you're looking for a full-time opportunity, you can easily get it. Especially when when you know people internally, it's easy to get a job. So I
I
feel
think
like,
so.
building connections is very, very important. That's business 101.
I feel like that's a very good advice, and the point you bring out, like not the thing that people know a lot about, being able to like maintain the relationship with your mentor, but again, don't overdo it. I do see some, I observe some students, like even my peers, sometimes they kind of overthinking, oh, well, like why I test this person for like 2 days and then he hasn't got back to me, like am I being ghosted, or like I try to maintain the relationship with that manager of that company, but like he never accept me coffee chats, like can I apply to the job over there?
It's totally fine. Understand that you're still a student, you're in a co-op position. Maybe your responsibility is you're still getting used to the workload. Understand they are full-time employees. They have a very, very heavy workloads. They are not just working on a one project like us. They are working on multiple projects. They are working on multiple projects, and they are also working on some minor reports as well. So it's very important to understand, and it's no excuse to get demotivated. There are so many people in a particular department that you are aiming for. Try to connect with other people. It's fine. And for BCI, they have a great clubs called Talking with Strangers, investment clubs. So enroll in those ones. I met with so many good people from Talking with Strangers, from private equity, HR, technology. Great way to, meet and connect with new people.
Very nice. And then I think that's also a very good practice of you practicing how you can introduce yourself to them, sort of you need to like reflecting of your own position. How can I make it more easy to like understand from like an HR or like engineering perspective of my own communication position? That's challenging, not people like reflecting about that. So yeah, good point to bring out. So yeah, coming to a very, not like very last question, but I feel like this is the very good way to like close up your beside questions, like so far in coming to the 3rd month and very soon the 4th month, and I know that you already extend your co-op. Gosh, I feel like Justin is like doing a great job, and your manager has a very good point about you. So to what extent that you feel like the knowledge and the skills that you have from SFU are like being like applying like practically here?
I feel like to some extent I'm using my knowledge from SFU to apply into this particular role. For example, the communication skills that you learn from SFU, you bring it to your job. The presentation skills, the research skills that I have learned from SFU, I do bring it to my job, which is transferable. But however, it needs to be kind of like narrowed down, you have to narrow it down to the way it aligns with your responsibility, to the way that your team expects to work with. So they kind of like you, like your team kind of molds your knowledge from university to so that you perfectly fit into that role.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pre that pre skill is going to be sad. How about post BCI, post this co-op? Do you have any skills that you feel you lack of, or like any skill set between yourself very like practical for you to learn now? Going back to SFU, doing extracurricular, going to investment banking. We I put out the destination for you to like to
Investment
not be very vague. We have specific goal.
goals. I like it. Well, the skills that I have kind of refined is strangely is my research skills. I thought I was very good in research, but it seems like it you need to mold your research in a way that helps your team and not just broaden it. You have to kind of narrow it down. So I have refined my research skills. I feel like the other thing that maybe SFU can help me is with public speaking. I feel like everyone is great at public speaking, but you know, there are some days or some situations where you kind of don't feel that confidence of being a public speaker. So SFU, being a business student, you know, provides you with a lot of teamwork and presentation. So that is something I want to enhance. For investment banking, communication skills. I feel like with people I have met in BCI, one main thing I know is that having good communication skills within your team and putting your ideas forward is really important. And the confidence is really important. Because in investment, confidence is the key. If you're not confident about your trade, who let you into this position?
Yeah, like similar kind of process. You have to be confident for your end first step. You can
Exactly.
persuade clients
Yes,
and
you need to
invest in the
persuade
bank.
your team, your clients, and your superiors to understand, you know, if you're thinking about this trade or this asset, why? So you need to be confident, you know, I feel that way, and persuade them into understanding why do you feel in that way.
Do you think that negotiation skill would come in handy in that case?
It really depends in what asset class you're working in, right? If you're just in public markets, into day-to-day trading, there's no negotiation, as in like no materialistic negotiation, as in like, but there is kind of negotiation with your supervisor. So take a situation where you think this particular trade is going to be beneficial. And your supervisor is like, you know, we will keep this in mind, but we don't want to go ahead with this trade. So then you have to negotiate with them. Okay, maybe we can invest certain amount in this one. So that kind of negotiation, not
Interesting.
materialistic.
In very interesting. I think that the negotiation situation that I think of is you negotiate with the client how much money you should put in. Because literally that's me with my bank advisor before. He asked me to put in the more amount of me can put in because I told him that it's not like a mistake, but it's more like a point where I feel like, oh, that's kind of like a flagging point, because he kind of thinks, oh, if you put like 1,000 for a day right now, you get like discount or you get like more high return. But I explained to him that this is my working money, and then this is the amount of money I can only put in at a certain amount of time, because of that's the money that I can, that it's not emergency for me. That's the money that I put aside for investing. So if you ask me to put more, you have to also consider the risk of me after this one, I will stop investing because that's past my limit. But if you let me do the things that I feel like, oh, this is the amount that I can invest in like regularly, I can stick with your bank longer. So yeah.
I think I totally agree with your point, but understanding in my mind, I was more thinking about investment organization
Like internal.
like BCI, Goldman Sachs, and Raymond James. For banks, they have like different idea of investments. For banks, you know, they want you to invest more because the returns that you're gonna get on your investment, they're gonna get a good portion of that.
Yeah, commissions.
Yeah. So I feel like with banks, it's like a different story of negotiation. With organizations which are like investment banking, The client gives them the money. They can't negotiate, like they can negotiate, but they just trust their clients. You know, they have given the money. Now their job is to how can they get greater returns? If they get the greater returns, their clients are gonna invest more money. And they don't have to directly ask them, oh, you need to invest more, you need to invest more. They are, you know, gaining the trust of their clients by earning higher returns on a particular investment for them, unlike banks.
So that's like always put your
Yeah,
client's value first.
I know, because when I went to Scotiabank, the financial advisor there was like, oh, you need to invest your money in this, and this much you should invest. The returns were not great. I didn't invest. The returns that she showed me was like, this is not, you know, worth investing. You're in my mind, I was like, she's just persuading me to for her own benefits and for, like, you know, Scotiabank's reputation. Yeah.
I think for me it would be more like a long-term investing. So I don't
Exactly.
really care about the shorter term return right now, but I feel like if I just put it regularly, until what point it would become like,
Yeah.
a portion of money I could save for a portion of my retirement. Who knows?
Exactly.
It's like 30 years from now. It's not like 3 years I'm gonna take it out. So anyway, very interesting. So to wrap up, what are your three dreams investment banking companies that you wanna focus on?
No.
Only three. Okay, not broad, not very tight, only three.
Berkshire. I am really great admirer of Warren Buffett. So Berkshire is on my top list. Goldman Sachs. Well, other one is from my home country, Bombay Stock Exchange. It's like I really wanna it's kind of like New York Stock Exchange or like that. But I wanna see the working culture. I wanna see, you know, how they work and how they approach to different opportunities.
Wow. Do you see yourself doing like an international co-op back to India? Would
Back,
that be a possibility?
yes, there would be a possibility that I'm kind of like you'll be seeing me roaming around the country to kind of explore more.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I think that's also a very good way of, learning about the working culture. It's okay.
Exactly.
You're gonna stick with that 9 to 5 hours,
Oh
not 9 to 5 hours,
no.
9 hours. So that would be 9 to 5, like 5 days a week, almost your whole
I
life
well, if
at that
it's
time.
investment, then it's like
Are they
you're
intense?
working intense workouts. There's no 9 to 5, there's like your whole life.
Right now it's 9 to 5, but maybe later I'm gonna see you at 10 p.m. Anyway, it's worth that. I mean, I see so many
It's
people
worth it.
like very passionate about investment banking. They know the good sign and the good way of working in
Exactly.
investment banking. So there's no regretting around here. People are determined, just like you. So I feel like, yep,
Exactly.
you guys know what you guys are doing. I'm not worrying. So yeah, that's also a wrap-up question. Your dream companies. If you ask me the same question, I don't know. Because I don't even I have not decided whether or not I want to stay
You
in Canada
asked me
now.
an investment, there might be other dream companies.
Oh, there is.
No. No, I'm kidding.
Maybe a big 3A. Like, are you gonna go in consulting?
Michael. Well, I'm still exploring.
You mentioned that before with me. You mentioned about going to consulting life more than investment banking life, because that could give you more freedom in, traveling
Exactly.
around, having clients and stick with them for a long term, having like a higher pay.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. Just to wrap up, we kind of sidetracked because we have so many chit chat with each other, so it's kind of a habit. But anyway, just to recap, I think I already asked you that question of what type of advice that you want to give to students, and then we also learn from our CEO. He talked about never stop learning, and we see that. Emphasizing by Justin that never stop learning, and I think that's the key. Just to close up, you will see Justin again very soon. She has a very amazing background, it's an amazing mindset that we can exploring as Gen Z diva. We're exploring our generation. So take care, you guys. See you next week then. Not next week, next 2 weeks.
See
Okay.
ya.
See ya.
Bye.
Take care. You will see my housemate, or like very soon, virtual housemate.